How many of you brought your journals today? We're getting a few more in numbers. All right, good. Make sure you share with someone. Give it an opportunity, maybe what God has been doing in your life. I know those conversations are maybe a little awkward, a little uncomfortable, but you know, it's. I got a couple emails that have been coming in. Somebody posted on my Facebook wall and said, wow, this has been great. I've heard a few personal testimonies. I would love to be able to hear more. If you could say what God's been doing through your life in the 40 days, or through the journaling especially, how maybe you've been discovering new things, that would be great to hear and great to rejoice over, because God wants to talk to us on a daily basis. And so we just need to be listening. That's kind of the big deal. And so this is an opportunity for us to listen. We're talking, as I was trying to formulate the end of this series and trying to work through that, because next week is Friend Day. We have some awesome gifts for Friend Day. And so I hope that you're inviting someone to come and join us. Each of the persons who comes with you, each of the adults, gets one of those gifts. And so there's just some really cool things that I really believe that you'll just kind of say, just come along. We have kind of a special gift. It's kind of a great day that we celebrate, and we just like to invite friends. And so would you come with us? So it seems like if we have an excuse to invite somebody, it always kind of works out a little easier. We promise not to embarrass them. We'll embarrass you, but not them. No, we won't. We will just make sure that we make this opportunity available. We'll try to make it as comfortable as possible, but a great opportunity just to be it for you to reach out and invite somebody for that. Usually we have about 80 families who come and join us on that day. So it's a big day, and it's been real exciting as we see that happen. And especially, like, there's probably somebody in your world that you'd like to have an excuse to invite, like you've been wanting to. This is the time. And so you just say, hey, would you join me? We're having a kind of a special day. It's like kind of a time where we can invite a friend to come to church, and maybe you come. Please don't invite somebody who already has a church home, and they'll say, sure, I'll do that a favor for you, and then you can come to my church the next week. That's like, we're not about that. That's not what we're doing. We're trying to reach people who need to know Jesus. And so we want to make sure, and they don't have a church home. We want to try to do that. So as I was preparing to think, what message do I want to share? This sermon was really to be on heaven. And then we didn't have anything. We're kind of at the end of the 40 days. In fact, if you've been abstaining from something for 40 days, you can stop Saturday night. That's kind of, we go Jewish on this day. You know, theirs was like at the end of the day light, then you could actually have something. So we really go Old Testament on this one. So if you've been giving up sweets or donuts or whatever it is, you could actually jump in then. But anyway, trying to look at what we talk about coming next Sunday. And as I really started going over my sermon for heaven, there's so much information on heaven I wanted to share. I looked at one of the last times I've spoken on heaven, and it was 2007. Time before that was 2003. And so I thought, I think I want to do about 3 weeks on heaven. And so I'm going to be talking about heaven for the next 3 weeks. And I'll start really next week. We'll talk about it. And today I'm going to actually be talking about angels. And so you're going to hear something related to heaven, as we've been singing about and as we're going to be talking about. Hopefully this will be really helpful for you. I think that what happens in our present world, we have a mutt religion. Do you know what I mean when I say a mutt religion? It's kind of like, you know, if your dog is a mutt, it's a combination of a whole bunch of things. So that's kind of what we're getting in our culture now, kind of a mutt religion, where people are kind of picking this piece and this piece and this piece and this piece, and they put it all together, and that's what they believe. And so part of that is in regard to angels. Part of it's in regard to heaven, where people kind of invent their own things. And so hopefully I'm going to bring some clarity to that as we walk through that. So here's what I'd like you to do. On the back of your outline, there's a little quiz on angels. Some of you may remember taking this, and so I hauled it out because I thought this was helpful. Some of you may not, but you can kind of put down your answers, yes or no, or whatever, as we're going through, and then your outline will really help reveal more. Let's see. What does the word angel mean? If you know, put that in there. I'll give you just a second because it is a number of letters. When were angels created? If you think you know that, you can just kind of check those and then kind of come back. Is God making any more angels? Could you meet an angel and not know it? And I know your spouse is sitting beside you and going, yep, that's me. Do angels marry? Are demons and angels the same? Who is freed from prison by an angel? Can angels be trusted? Are all angels the same? Are there good angels and evil angels? Do angels have wings? All angels? Do angels fly with these wings? Are angels omniscient? Like, do they know everything? How many angels are there? Do angels have names? Do angels have specific jobs? Do angels have a language? Are angels male or female? Are angels limited in whom they can help? And do we really have guardian angels? Well, here's some things angels are not. Angels are not feminine creatures. Angels are not saints who have died. Angels are not all good. Angels are not all alike. Angels do not have halos. Really? Angels do not reproduce. Angels do not possess human bodies but become visible as necessary. Angels are not funny-looking little chubby red-faced babies with wings. You thought they were, right? Angels are not going to die, so they are ageless. Angels are not emotionless robots without freedom of choice. Angels do not obey man and cannot intercede in prayer. And angels are not to be worshipped. So, let's talk about everything that heaven is a place for eternity. Angels all around us is the first part. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. Angels are only servants, or this is in the NLT, NIV says messengers. They're messengers of God. So if you put either of those down, you are correct in that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, and Lord, we ask that you would just speak to us this morning. Help us to be more aware of your world as we prepare for it. In Christ's name, amen. The fact is, angels were created as God's servants. That's how we see that. We try to understand what it's like. There is kind of a mistaken understanding that a lot of people think we become angels. We do not become angels. You're not one now and you're not ever going to be one. I mean, that's just the way it is. And you're not going to have wings. My favorite story about this is Mary Buck worked for me for how many years, Mary? 8 years? I told her that we were not going to have wings, and she said, what? Yes, we are. I said, no, Mary, we're not. And so the next day I came into work, and she was sitting at her typewriter with these big wings sticking out the back. I said, what are you doing? And she said, well, if I'm not getting them in heaven, I'm going to wear them now. So the fact is that that's not a part of that. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. And so we start to understand that God created all things that are around us. Now, there is a spirit world that is all around us. And this is not creepy or whatever. This is how God created. And so as we start to understand that he created what we can see and what we can't see, we understand that there is this whole world of angels and demons that are all around us. So there is a spirit world that is operating that is beyond what we can visually see. And the fact is, once in a while, I hear some people who seem to be able to see into the spirit world and see things that go beyond. I cannot. But I hear people, and I believe that. I believe what they say. But the fact is, most times we cannot. And for most of us, they cannot see into the spirit world at all. And so that's important for us to remember. Now, angels have names. They do. Some of those, like that we know of, that were called. Michael was commander-in-chief. Gabriel, mighty one, heaven's telegram bearer. So these are some of the names and jobs that they had. So they have specific tasks and responsibilities. So as we can be able to see that, we understand that a little bit better. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. And so there's a hierarchy as well that is a part of that. But even Michael, one of the mightiest angels, did not dare accuse the devil of blasphemy, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." This took place when Michael was arguing with the devil about Moses' body. So I'm not going to go into explanation, but if you would just look at the fact that both a name and mightiest talking about power, so there's certain levels of power that angels have in that realm, and also responsibilities that are a part of that. So angels have levels of power and authority. So, you know, we don't really know a whole lot about the spiritual world except what God's word tells us. But cherubims, for example, protect and defend. So that's their responsibility. And seraphims, they have six wings. So it's clear to tell us that not all have wings, but some do. And to covering their face for submission, two for their feet for service, and two to the Creator, and two for flying. So some use wings for flying, and some don't have wings, so they don't. So you could have a yes or no on that one as far as that question and looking at it. Now, Scripture says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And so basically, one of the great illustrations is when you're praying, your prayers are carried by angels as in messengers. And so they're going back and forth and they're fighting their way through the enemy that would be trying to defeat those angels as far as the power and what God is doing. Now, angels are beyond number. So like there are bazillion of them. How do we know that? Here's what Scripture says. I looked again and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders. Now, all we know is that there were two-thirds of the angels followed God. A third of those took by their own choice. So angels had a will and they had a choice, just like we do. And so we have that whole free will. And a third of those were deceived and followed Satan. Two-thirds of those remained and followed God. So now there's a third of these millions of angels that are demonic. A third or two-thirds that are a greater percentage that are following God and are still his servants and carry his messages for us. And so we realize there is a battle that is going around around us that is constantly happening. And so that battle between the good and evil. Now, both of those are angels. They didn't lose any power. And so even though some are evil and some are good, they didn't lose power. So their impact and ability to impact is the same. So the only difference we know is the number that are there. So angels are superhuman in knowledge and power and possessing intelligence and will. And so there's a will that is there. So there we're understanding a bit about who they are. However, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven, which means they're not omniscient. So they don't know everything. Because here you can see example, not even in the angels in heaven or the Son himself, only the Father knows. So there were some things only God knew. Angels didn't know everything. So as we're trying to look at that. But the angels who are far greater in power and strength do not dare to bring from the Lord a charge of blasphemy against those supernatural beings. So greater in power and strength. So it tells us a little bit about their power, about their ability, understanding that. Angels will not reproduce or die. So we know that there are not going to be any more. So God created those. That's done. And because they can't reproduce, they can't die, then they're ageless and they continue because Scripture says, for when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. In this respect, they will be like the angels in heaven. So they will not marry or are given in marriage, so there's neither male nor female. And so we always see angels projected as male. They can assume a body type. We know that throughout Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. We see a few of those appearances in Acts as angels appeared to someone. It's not as common of a thing. And let me just kind of explain this. There were certain time periods when we see the miracles of God more prevalent than at other time periods. And so as we look through all of history, recorded history, we would see you see around Moses, you saw all the miracles that were accomplished, you saw several other time periods as you would look in the Old Testament, you see in the book of Acts, then a whole bunch of miracles happening right around there. You don't see that as continued then through history. You see them infrequently. Not that God's done with miracles. Please don't understand. I'm not saying that. He still does miracles. But you don't see them with the frequency that you do at certain time periods as you would look through history. I believe we're going to see more of those before the coming of the Lord. So we're going to see more of those kinds of miracles that are going to be happening. Because around certain time periods throughout Scripture, we see that that's going to increase. So I do believe it's going to increase as we're looking and seeing the return of Christ coming closer to us. Which means we have to be more and more aware and discerning. Discerning the ability to tell the difference between good and evil. That's discernment. We have to be more discerning about what's happening. And if we're not, we can be easily taken off track. We can be easily dissuaded and deceived. And that's why it's so important that we understand, okay, what is the Word of God? You have to be in it daily to understand. Discernment will continue to increase as you understand more of how God works and the Word of God. And so that's an important part. He said, they will never die again. In this respect, they will be like angels. See, angels don't die. They're eternal. They are children of God and children of the resurrection. So we understand that tells us a little bit more. Now, what kind of activities do angels have? And so what do we understand in that regard? Angels continually praise and glorify God. So that's one of their primary. We see that throughout Scripture. They continually praise and glorify God in all things. And they sang in a mighty chorus, worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So that is the song that they continue to sing. As we sang those worship songs today, didn't you just really feel God's presence? Wasn't it just like incredible? Whenever I feel God's presence, I kind of get overwhelmed and, you know, tears start to flow because I can just feel how close God is. And there's a purpose. God doesn't do that to make you feel good. He brings that for a purpose and a reason. And so God always is working in that sense. But we will be doing that for eternity. And so that same sense of God's presence that we feel when we're in worship like that, even greater, but that's a little hint of what it's going to be like for eternity as we would experience his presence. Now, you're not going to be floating around on a cloud playing a harp and just singing all the time. So if that doesn't appeal to you, don't worry. There's a whole lot more that's going to be a part of heaven, and that's not what it's going to be. Angels reveal and communicate God's message to man. So that's one of their jobs. So what are the activities or the jobs of angels? They communicate God's message, so they bring that to us. We don't see that, but they are in that process all the time that is around us. For the angel, for the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So we see that the angels bring the messages that are around us. Now, angels minister to believers in protection of both spiritual and physical needs. So, for the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. So this is how we get the guardian angel, because he is a guard. Now, there's not, at least that we know in Scripture, not likely that there's one guardian angel for each person. There are probably many. Some of us keep them really busy, and that we have a bunch of them around us. But one of the jobs and responsibilities of angels is to guard. And so they are protecting. And I've heard so many stories of people who would tell things about things. It just seems supernatural. Their car was just moved out of the way, or something happened that they go, I can't even explain it. We were on a pathway and it just, I don't know, it just changed. And so we know that God puts angels in the pathway to guard us. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, that's exactly what's taken place. Now, angels execute judgment on the enemies of God as well. And so we're understanding some of those responsibilities. It says here, then the seven angels with the seven trumpets prepared to blow their mighty blast. So God uses angels in Revelation, as we would see, to be able to bring about those judgments that are going to be poured out on the earth. Right now, we're living in an age of grace where God is withholding judgment from being poured out on the earth. But we understand that there is going to come a time when judgment is going to be poured out on the earth, and it's going to be coming. Angels will accompany the Lord at his second coming. So we know that as well. They'll come along with him. So they are part of his mighty army that is constantly serving. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. And so we understand that. Now, angels were active in Cornelius's life. Now, this is in the book of Acts, and we see how Cornelius was praying, and God intervenes, and so we see what takes place. Here's the story. Cornelius replied, 4 days ago, I was praying in my house about this same time, 3:00 in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. He told me, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Now send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying at the home of Simon, a tanner, who lives near the seashore. Now, angels assured him of his relationship with God. That's one of the things that they do. That's one of the things that happened for Cornelius. Although Cornelius was not, he was not a Jew, he was a Gentile, we see that even though he didn't understand the full way, he was praying and God revealed himself to Cornelius. It kind of helps us understand, how does God reveal himself all around the world? We're seeing stories and hearing stories of Muslims who are coming to Christ in all different locations and places. And God has that way that he can reveal himself to those who are sincere in heart and want to seek God. he'll reveal himself to them. And that's exactly what happened with Cornelius. Angels heard his prayers as they came before God. So what? Angels hear our prayers. And so we understand what is a part of that process as well. Angels informed him to receive the baptism of the Spirit. And so there was a message that was brought to them as a result. Now, obviously, we know God is omnipresent. He could actually do this himself, and he could reveal himself to every person, but he's chosen to work through this process, and he's chosen to work through his servants. Many ways, he's chosen to work through us. Could God show himself to your coworker, your family member, your whatever? Could he do? Of course he could. But he chooses to use your testimony and your witness to impact their lives. So he chooses to work through us in the same way that he chooses to work through his angels. So angels gave direction to Peter's house, and so they give direction. We can understand that. It's not likely that we have just one guardian angel in our lives. It's really, there are many angels that surround us, but they do guard us. And so that is accurate in that sense. Beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones, for I tell you that there are angels, their angels are always in the presence of my Heavenly Father. So their angels, like in possessive, that each one of us has angels that are protecting us and guarding us. Now, angels share in salvation, one of the other aspects that we see. Angels witness our salvation. We understand that from Scripture because it says, in the same way there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. So the angels rejoice. When we light candles, we need to rejoice, but they already are rejoicing over what has happened. Angels witness Christ's reports of our confession or denial of him. That Scripture as well, because it says, I tell you the truth, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, the Son of Man will also acknowledge in the presence of God's angels. But anyone who denies me here on earth will be denied before God's angels. So there, we're constantly being surrounded by a spiritual world that is happening. Angels witness our lives in Christ and without Christ. So we understand the Scripture says, instead, I sometimes think God has put us as apostles on display on like prisoners of war at the end of a victor's parade, condemned to die. We have become a spectacle to the entire world, to people and angels alike. And so certainly that spirit world continues to happen around us. Angels witness our name being written in the book of life. When you're born again, your name is put in the book of life. It's written in. And that is the great importance. And so we see that all who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. So there's an importance of understanding how he works. Angels remain hidden except on occasion when our eyes are opened to see them. And so for the most part, we would see that angels remain hidden. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Many of you may have angel stories where it seems that you had an experience where there seemed to be someone who was present and you couldn't really explain all of it. And that may have happened. And that's very possible because it says, for some have done this and have entertained angels without realizing it. So very possible. We're constantly surrounded by angels. We're understanding that God is working all the time and his messengers are working all the time as well. And so you are surrounded by a host of angels and they are working and interceding and protecting. And that's why prayer really activates all of the spirit world. There's an important understanding there. And so we need to continue to be seeking God, allowing him to work through us and realizing the impact that he wants to make on those in our world. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your blessings in our lives. Thank you for the world that is around us. that goes beyond what we can see and understand. Lord, sometimes we lose sight of that and we forget that all the time we are being surrounded by those, protected by those, guarded by those, bringing messages to God, from God. Lord, help us to be conscious of the great efforts and work that is done on our behalf of our salvation and those that are around us. Help us to never lose sight of the power of God that goes beyond what we can understand. So much more about this could be explained. But Father, help us to remember just a bit of glimpse about what your word says and how you want to teach us and prepare us for what's ahead. We give you thanks in Christ's name.